Staying Alive UK. Share your story.
Hello and welcome to the Share Your Story podcast series, a business biography, their story so far. I'm Michael De Groot and I'm your host. My purpose through this podcast series is to inspire you to take the next step towards your new business venture or indeed develop your existing business even further. I only interview business owners who employ less than 9 employees, and mostly they will be on their own. So let's get straight to it. And I'm delighted today to have with us Kate Nankerville, all the way from New Zealand. And just a short introduction about Kate first. After many years of experience in corporate key account management and business development, Kate started her social media business, Force of Nature. Force of Nature reflects her passion for understanding the needs and goals of business and business people, and enabling growth through the use of LinkedIn and social selling. Kate is a LinkedIn trainer and consultant, social selling specialist, and a connector. With her strategic understanding of business development and social selling, her clients see immediate value using the power of LinkedIn to get results for their business or careers. Hello, Kate, and welcome to the Share Your Story podcast. How are you?
Hello, Michael. Look, I'm great, thank you. Thank you very much for welcoming me onto your show. It's lovely to be here.
Brilliant. And you're all the way in New Zealand. I'm in the UK. And
I know. I know. Isn't that amazing?
And today we are having, or rather this week, we are having the best summer sunshine, hot weather in the UK, which we're not used to. We can't cope with it. So what is the weather doing in New Zealand, the other side of the planet?
Sure. So we are at the end of autumn, going into winter, and we've had a sharp dip in the temperatures just this week, and snow has started to fall in the colder parts of the area. So in the lower part of the South Island, there've been some quite big initial snowfalls, which is unusual at low-lying areas in some cases. And there have been frosts and cooler mornings, so people are definitely starting to get their whole winter thing on, you know, here in New Zealand. So isn't it funny when you get that lovely hot weather and we're like putting on our jumpers and scarves and things?
It's just mad, isn't it? It is absolutely mad. You just don't expect that to be able to be possible. It just shows us how big this planet is, really.
Well, yeah, totally, it is. And also the fact that we're doing this and it's breakfast time with you, roughly.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's evening where I am. So, you know, I'm sitting here looking out at the city lights and, you know, you've got sunshine coming in the windows.
That's right. It's weird.
I love that too. Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It's good, though. I like that. It's good.
Yeah, it just keeps things interesting. It definitely does. Well, thank you for joining us, and we're going to learn a little bit about you today. And the first question I've got for you, I always get all of my guests to tell us a little bit about your personal life, and you can share as much as you'd like to or hold back stuff. We're not doing, you know, an in-depth analysis, but we'd like to know, obviously, where were you born? Are you still living in the same place? Have you moved around? About your education, maybe your family, your hobbies, your interests, you know, just a few personal nuggets about Kate.
Sure. Great question. There's so much. I'll try and keep it brief. Okay. So back at the beginning, I was born in a city called Palmerston North, which is in the North Island of New Zealand. My family moved around quite a bit when I was a kid, compared to, I think, the families of the friends I had at the various places we did live at.
Yeah.
Because my father was, well, both my parents were school teachers, and particularly Dad was ended up being a school principal, so we moved around a bit for that. That, I guess, following my school education, my tertiary education, I did an undergraduate degree in psychology. And that was more like organisational psychology. And I've done a postgraduate diploma in business administration, which was in organisational psychology, including papers in marketing and statistics and all that good fun stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. My family, I am a single lady, although I don't know if I should be putting that out on a podcast, but anyway, I've said it now.
Yeah, you'll get a lot of hits now.
that's hilarious. And my hobbies and interests are, well, just recently, actually, I've started some really cool, fun new stuff. Actually, with people who are clients of mine, I'm doing a painting course to expand my creative thinking and explore what that can do for my life and business. And I've taken up singing lessons of a classical nature, because I've always wanted to do that. And again, someone who's a client of mine is teaching me, and she's absolutely brilliant. We're having a ball, and both of those things are really right brain activities. So it's just brilliant. I find the energy that's come into my life as a consequence really, really great as a result.
Wow, that sounds fascinating and really interesting. Now, I have a question about the organizational psychology. Is that is that to do with business, or is that to do with organization of what?
Oh, yes, no, absolutely to do with business. So yeah. It was probably also described in some papers as personnel psychology back in the day.
Yeah.
And people who study organizational psychology, often, if they carry on, they'll complete their master's and something like that and then go on to become organizational psychologists if that's where they're heading. For me, I think my interest in that area has probably been more reflected by my interest in coaching, and also I guess the learning and development within my business now. But look, it's interesting, you know, you start off at university all sorts of idealistic stuff, don't you? And then you kind of do other things afterwards.
Well, that's a nice way to introduce then. What were those other things then that you started doing? So after you graduated and got all the qualifications, what did you decide to do, or what did you find that you were interested in, or just went and got a job?
well, the idealistic post-university me thought, oh, well, I'll probably end up working in human resources. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
And it's funny how things didn't work out that way, and I ended up not in roles like that, but I ended up in sales roles. So quite a series of different sales roles and different types of organizations and industries. I've sold advertising of a variety of natures, newspaper, yellow pages, various sort of publishing or publications that I've sold advertising for. I have sold training and development, if you like. So I worked for a training company, loved that. That was just wonderful. I think when I did that, I realized that I only ever wanted to sell things that I really believed in. Not the sort of person that could sell stuff that I've just like, you know, just because I'm there. And I've worked in areas that were a little more like print and IT, and also in the vehicle glass and insurance industry. So a range of things, really.
Wow.
And also a stint in a part of a bank in New Zealand with this particular product. So a real variety of things in different industries. And I'd say the consistent flavour was that I was in sales roles, which probably reflected my communication skills, shall we say?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And what specifically did you enjoy about those sales roles? What kept you in sales?
My clients. My client relationships. Having a variety of people, like I really liked working for organisations that you got to deal with lots of other types of companies and lots of different people. And I met some just wonderful people over the years who've become friends through those jobs, and great people that I worked alongside and learned from, who assisted me to develop my professional skills as a salesperson. And one of the companies that I worked for, specifically around the training learning space, I really developed my professional sales skill set there. And, you know, in fact, I had lunch with someone today I used to work with there and who was my sales manager there. And, you know, we were reflecting on how much we got out of that time, how much we'd learned and how much we benefited from that time.
Mm. Okay, so how many years were you working for other people?
Oh, gosh. Let's just work out that out. It must have been. Let me just think about that. Sorry. Where am I now?
2017.
Yeah. No, not me. No, I'm just thinking about in terms of how long I've been doing this. I would say 22 years.
For other people.
Yeah, sorry, I hadn't even thought about that. It's interesting,
wow.
Isn't it, that number? Yeah. And that was post-university. Gosh, I did so many jobs when I was a university student. Let's not count that.
Yeah,
we'll be here all day.
Okay, so that's a significant amount of time to work for other people. And so what happened next then? What decided, how did you decide then to leave employment? What was the main motivator for doing that?
I had been wanting to for some time, and you know, it's funny the things that happen. I was asked by a friend, a wonderful woman who also, she'd been a client previously and had become a great friend, if I could help her with what she was doing on LinkedIn with her business. And I was at a stage where I was thinking about what I was going to do next, and so I went round and I helped her. I guess you'd call it coaching or training. What I was doing was helping shape her profile and with regard to the business that she's in and what she wanted to do. And afterwards she said, gosh, Kate, you're so good at this. You could do this as a business. And I totally remember that moment. It's like, you know, one of those things that comes along and slaps you on the shoulder or something and you go, pennies drop. And a bunch of other things happened around that, but there was definitely a lovely moment. And she's a very dear friend and has regard for my skills and was very supportive of me taking the step. So, and around that time, I did take the step to start my own business.
And
you know what? It was also because I could just see as well, like, guess the writing on the wall, LinkedIn, social selling, how it could be used for business development. I'd started to scour the world of online for more information and how it can be used. And I just went the boots and all and learned as much as I could.
Yeah. And was it specifically to do LinkedIn then when you set up your business?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was about being providing LinkedIn services. And, you know, I guess it, when you start anything, you don't necessarily know what it's all going to turn into. I did wonder if I would have a broader social media service provision, but I actually decided after a while that wasn't going to be the right fit for me. Look, I have wonderful people who I refer to who work with clients with Facebook and with Instagram, that sort of thing. But I connect with LinkedIn because of my sales background and because how we can use it, because of the power that we, I guess, the big, where the leverage lies, I think, in the main with LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And so all of that I love. The B2B aspect of it I love. The potential for sales growth I love. There's so much that aligns with my background and what I've been good at and what I like to do and how I like to help other people do it, that it just is the right fit for me.
That's
brilliant. I like that it's the professional environment.
Yeah.
I like that people tend not to want to make a wally of themselves on LinkedIn, you know.
You know,
there is a preponderance of communication that I don't think serves the better good in some other social media environments. People get scrappy and trolly and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it's great to be somewhere it's not happening.
And I'm intrigued about your company name, Force of Nature. How did that come about?
That's a good story, actually. So Force of Nature arose out of something I did in 2008. So in 2008, the summary is I lost 40 kilos and got super fit for me with training with a personal trainer every week and doing lots of exercise and eating a very careful diet and got into great shape. And then in 2009, the global financial crisis happened and I was made redundant from the job I had at the time. So I had been working for Yellow Pages here in New Zealand, and they guess, what would you say? They made, I think, over 100 and something staff redundant, just in the cut that I was a part of. And then there was a whole bunch of other people, like there was hundreds of people went in the end.
Yeah.
And so I was made redundant in 2009, and I started looking around at what I could do. And at the time, a communication specialist friend of mine helped me come up with the name. And the name Force of Nature was created to reflect my energy, in particular around how I guess become more into my own through the process of my personal transformation.
Gotcha.
And so it was kind of like a label that was given to my massive energy for the change I'd made. And it felt really good. I loved the name Force of Nature. So ever since then, I've been Force of Nature Kate.
Brilliant. So even though you're doing LinkedIn training, people know you as Force of Nature as part of that.
Yes. Yeah. And I kind of just went, well, that's how it's going to be. That's the name I am. That's the name I love.
Which is very similar to what happened to me, because I had my company originally started helping people with their health and well-being, because I went into nutrition and training in a modality called kinesiology. And I literally woke up one morning, this true story, with the name of my company, which was Staying Alive. And the Bee Gees song was playing in my head. And I said, this will be really memorable, Staying Alive. And then when you say that, people hear the Bee Gees tune in their head. So people will remember.
Or they just sing it along.
That's right.
Staying alive. And isn't that the song they teach people to think in their heads when they're doing CPR?
That's right.
Absolutely. So was it kind of based on that too?
No, it wasn't. That came much later, I think. But anyway, so that's how I started my business. But for similar reasons, the recession came. And wherever I went to, because I was promoting my business into companies to help employees with health and well-being, and they said, it's a nice idea, but we can't afford it. And so I had to look and do other things. So this is not my podcast, but it's a similarity with your story. That's why I'm sharing it. And
isn't that interesting?
And I then went into social media training, which then became LinkedIn training. But I said, I'm just going to keep the name. I'm just going to keep the name because it's still a different name. It stands out. It's memorable. So we're very similar in that respect.
We are.
Oh, amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, someone else that we know of, I from my understanding as well, is Melanie Dodaro in Canada.
Yes.
I believe she did a personal transformation thing and wrote a book about it, did some things. I'm a bit sketchy on those details, but I think that she did some, like, it was like a weight loss and transformation thing. So, look.
Oh, fabulous.
What is that in us LinkedIn people?
Fabulous. Okay, so Force of Nature is alive, it's working, it's doing LinkedIn, social selling. So what the listeners of this podcast are really interested in, because our audience are either people that are stuck in jobs and they want to get out of those jobs and they want some idea of how to do it, but they also want some advice in terms of what some of the challenges could be ahead of them.
Sure.
So what have been some of the challenges for you in running your own business?
Oh gosh, you know, cash flow is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the things I think that when you're an employee, you don't even think about it, and you're right to be perhaps focused upon it when you move into having your own business or being self-employed, but you don't really know what it feels like to have to live that how should we call it, that roller coaster of cash flow or not cash flow. And so when you're in a job and you've got a salary or wage coming in, you know what you're going to get in the bank every week.
That's right.
But when you start your own business, you're launching new services and products and solutions, and you are focused on getting new clients or getting clients, and you're working out your pricing and all that stuff, and all of that if you like, the bucket at the end of it is whether or not you've got cash.
That's right.
And I think learning or even creating the systems and the rituals of success that create cash in your business is key. And look, I've heard some good advice about this from other people who, you know, because there's a lot of social media out there, particularly I think on Facebook, that promotes this idea that you can create an online business in under 6 days and you'll be earning $10,000 a month before you blink.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of that touted. And I've heard wise advice from business coaches that I trust who say, hey, you know what? Map out your products and services and solutions, map out your pricing, and know or have a greater certainty around what you're going to bring in month 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, so that you can work backwards to see, have you got enough put aside to start your business? Do you want to keep working full-time while you start your business? Do you want to work part-time while you start? You know, like, I think having a plan around that and having some surety around that and having tested that is a really wise thing to do, because it's also very, I think, very difficult to create or manifest success, abundance, wealth, cash flow, whatever you want to call it, from a place of scarcity. And it's very easy to get into scarcity if you're not feeling confident, and it's very easy to lose confidence in a new business if you're not getting cash. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. It's a vicious circle, yeah. Isn't it? I mean, if it starts going wrong, you go more into fear, and going more into fear means that starts going more wrong. And
yes,
so I've been there. I definitely have been there. And I think that's absolutely great advice to, you know, for people to think about the cash flow side of things, that you've got to have a little bit of money that is almost like security in case things don't work the way you hope for it to work. And that's certainly not something I had when I started. You know, I was too gung-ho. And so I think that is a massive challenge for anybody starting their own business. And, so that's a fabulous point. So, okay, let's turn it on its head then, because good things happen too in running your own business. So what have been some of the highlights? What have been some of the highlights?
Gosh, you know, it's such a lovely question to think about. It just gives me goosebumps thinking about it. You know, I think the first time I ran one of my own workshops and I had clients that came and paid me, and I got to deliver the training that I had prepared and worked on, that I'd had the workbooks that I'd developed, and that, you know, like, it was so exciting to be thinking, this is mine, and I'm loving working with these people. And I particularly do like taking out, do you know the term talking stick?
No.
Oh, okay.
We'll
park that to one side. Really? Okay. Well, the talking stick is like a symbol that in some cultures you would pass the talking stick within a community to the person who's going to speak. So we just make jokes about it in my family. Like, we've got a lot of talkers. And so I'm like, I take out the talking stick because I love to talk so much. So anyway, and I have to borrow that off, for instance, my parents, because I talk a lot because I grew up in a family of teachers and communicators, and you had to fight to be heard around the dinner table at my place. I tell you, there's a lot of conversations going on.
That's brilliant.
I think things like, running my first workshop, making it real, you know, I think one of the amazing things about running your own business, it's such a creative process. You imagine something in the first instance and think, oh, I'd like to run a workshop. And then you make it real.
Yeah.
And so the difference between it being real and being in your imagination is just your willingness to put one foot in front of the other and take the action to make it happen. The powerful creative force of that is really exciting. You know, if you think, for me, I wanted to be a paid keynote speaker or a paid speaker at conferences and events. Well, I made that happen. And I remember going to this conference where I was booked as a speaker, and I got to the hotel and this lovely concierge greeted me, and I'm like, I'm doing it. This is awesome. This is real. One of my childhood dreams. It's real. And then I got on stage in front of, you know, an audience of people at a business conference, and they're at their tables, and you're up there, and you're looking out at the audience in those faces, and they're waiting expectantly, and you're going, this is a responsibility, and I'm so excited, which is, I know, odd, because there's a lot of people who would think public speaking would be like, I'd rather die.
Yeah. But
that's just a funny thing I'm into. You're probably into it too. That's just...
I love it too. And that is that. I love that highlight, because what you're saying is that people start off with a dream or an idea. And when that dream or idea becomes reality, it's a very, very special moment.
I'm getting goosebumps again, Michael, just hearing you say that.
Yeah.
Because it's like your dream's made real. There's nothing better than that.
No.
It's like, We're all kids inside. We all had stuff we wanted to do when we were kids that sometimes we've forgotten. And, you know, it took me until I was in my mid-40s to take the leap out of being an employee to do this.
Yeah.
And I've done more in the last 4 years about achieving probably my inner dreams and desires than I ever have in my life before, and I waited till now. And I'm jumping in on your good questions, but if there's anything I could do to encourage or support people, if for them, the idea of creating their own business is something they think is them, that I would love to encourage and support people to do that effectively for themselves, because it is such an exciting thing to do. But I don't say it's for everybody. It's if it's something that rings your bell.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people need to have a passion for it, but the purpose of this podcast is to reduce the amount of fear that people might have over it, right? So listening to you makes it real. You know, somebody who's done it, who's, you know, been employed for a while, and the same happened to me too. You know, I was employed for a long time, and even when you've been employed for such a long period of time, you think, oh no, I'm too late to do it. But you're never too late to do it.
No, you are. Yeah, and, you know, life is for living, and if you feel like feeling the thrill, the joy, the challenge, the ups and downs, and the fear, you'll get it all by being self-employed. I think it is one of the biggest teachers, and it's just such a big learning experience. I mean, gosh, I still feel like I'm very early days in my journey. When I meet other people who've been doing it 20 or 25 years, and I see their businesses, and I have such respect for what they've created, when you see what people have created. That's another thing. I think my respect for other business owners has grown immensely through this time.
Mm, absolutely. Okay, so let's think about the future then for a minute. About all these other people that have been there for much longer and they've created these businesses. Do you have a vision for where your business is going to go? Do you have a dream of where you would like it to be?
Oh, you know, my dream I know in part, and the rest I'm creating.
Yeah.
I would like to grow what I'm doing now to the extent where I could start to employ contractors for more amounts of time, ultimately having employees. That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Because then I could do more and produce more and serve more people. That would be great.
Yeah.
I would like to connect with tertiary institutions so that I could support young people coming through educational institutions. And I've just been in contact with one university here in New Zealand this week, to support how they are moving on to the next stage, you know, once they complete their degrees, because I feel so passionately about that. I spent 22 years learning lots of amazing things which support me now, but not necessarily following my dreams or having the confidence to do so.
Yeah.
And also there are other things I want to do which may lead me away from what I'm doing now at some point, or incorporate these things in a big way. And Michael may So can you bring me back to the question? Sorry, can you just repeat that?
Yeah, sure. It's where is your business going to be, you know, in 5, 10, 15 years' time? So the growth is great. Employing people is great. So the institutions, I think, is absolutely essential, the educational and young people coming into the workplace and helping them use LinkedIn, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what I'd like is to grow a team and for me to be able to focus more of my time on speaking and writing in terms of writing articles versus writing profiles, if you know what I mean. Like, I currently in my business write a lot of profiles for clients, but I would like to have a team that I could work with so that I could get them working on some of the creation of the profile side of things or managing what people are doing on LinkedIn type of things. And I could be speaking more because I love to speak and sharing the message and inspiring people and encouraging people through what I can share in terms of what I've learned. And then I've got this other project that I'm working on at the moment too. Is this timely to talk about
that? I was just going to ask you about that. So perfect. Yeah. Perfect timing. Yeah. Yes. Tell us about your other project.
Thank you, Michael. I will. I said before how I got the name Force of Nature for my business and being called Force of Nature, Kate. Well, being in business, the other thing, I guess, that I'd put my hand up and share with people who are thinking about this is your self-care is incredibly important and at any time in your life, particularly when you start a business, it's very easy to let your care of self kind of fall away as you get absorbed in all the things you're going to be learning and doing and the people you'll be meeting and the focus on creating cash flow and the focus on developing products and solutions. So what has happened for me is that I did let my self-care drop off, and as a consequence, I've put on weight and become less fit and haven't been in a great state. So last year, I began the genesis of an idea to change that in my life. And I'm like, I'm really liking growing my business, but I just want to be healthier. I want to live a richer, fuller life. So I actually created what's now called The Shape of Kate.
Brilliant.
Which is my personal transformational project around myself. I have a support team. I have a nutritionist, a physiotherapist, a trainer. I've worked with a psychologist. I've worked with working with a counsellor. Have a wonderful support team. Other people and other types of social media consulting firms are helping me so that I can do this effectively, because I have a website for The Shape of Kate, which is theshapeofkate.com. And also I'm on Instagram with The Shape of Kate. And the purpose of this is for me to share my journey, because I believe that well-being is more about our mindsets than it is about a prescriptive way of eating or a diet or a prescriptive way of exercising. Eating well and exercising for fitness and strength and flexibility are all important things, but we can only sustain living a prescription for as long as our energy or motivation lasts. And what I believe to be true is that our mindset influences so much that I want to find the keys to changing my mind so that I can live a healthier and a more full and rich existence.
Wow, that's awesome. And and not only that, the fact that you are publicizing it and making it public and allowing people to join you on that journey to witness it, and to witness your transformation, and also presumably, inevitably, because I know what it's like to do transformation as well, that there's going to be setbacks along the way, right? They're going to be like business. There are going to be challenges. There's going to be highlights as well. And you're going to have good days and bad days. And for people to witness that and see that is just brilliant that you're doing that, Kate. Much, much
Thank
respect.
You.
And it takes a lot of courage to do that too, I think. And it's not an easy thing to do because it's very personal. And as a business owner, because we as business owners have got to portray a picture of ourselves as, yeah, we're in business and we're doing really great, you know, in all aspects of our lives. And of course, we are human beings. And everyone has issues of some sort, you know, whether it's cash flow or health or, you know, whether it's wanting to get fitter, lose weight, be more, you know, mindful about your life. And the thing is, the world is getting more stressed, has more mental health problems. It's unhealthier than it's ever been. You know, people are now talking about how a lot of people going into old age are all going to be suffering with dementia. You know, so all the specialists are saying we're all going to get it. Basically, one in three people are going to suffer with it. But no one is looking at, you know, how you can prevent it through nutrition, exercise, mental well-being as one of the biggest ones. And so, yeah, well done to you. I want to give you lots of high fives, but I'm on the other side of the world.
Yeah, I'm not sure how we do that on this, but I'm totally feeling your support and cheering on. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm really, really cheering you on. And I hope everyone who's listening to the podcast will go and check you out. It's called The Shape of Kate. Go and check out theshapeofkate.com. Follow Kate's journey because I think it's absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Mm.
And thank you.
And the great thing, it's a gift you're giving to yourself too. And I love the fact that you've surrounded yourself with people around you that are specialists who are supporting you. Because the fact is, it means you are serious about it. It isn't just a, I'm going to have a go at this and see if it works. The fact that you've got people around you, coaching you, willing you on as well, that is brilliant, because you're going to succeed. You are definitely going to succeed.
Absolutely. And I already feel like I have in so many ways. And look, if I may share something else, like I shared before that my, when we talked about hobbies and interests, that I've started this painting course and also the singing. And one of the things I'll just share.
Please,
at the moment. Prior to embarking on The Shape of Kate, I'd got to a place where food was filling a hole in my life. Like I was eating to kind of fill up this hole.
Yes.
And you could say it was loneliness, feeling a sense of isolation at times, that type of stuff. And I think that's quite a common human experience, particularly in this time of us living in urban environments. And if people are like me, and it does, you don't have to be single to feel this. People in relationships can feel isolated and lonely too at times. But I think there's an increasing amount of that when I think back to how my grandparents lived and how they had more community and people live more closely entwined. Now we often, you know, we create these places and we live in these boxes and we don't necessarily interact with other people as much.
Absolutely,
and
so
I have this big heart for that, because feeling lonely is such a lonely place. So anyway, so this whole thing was like, right, so how do I change that dynamic? So look, I went, doing something outside my comfort zone is going to do something, right? I want to try it. And all the exponents of change say, you know, take some action. So off I go to the painting class, which is about creative thinking, like using painting as a medium. And I was really resistant to learning how to paint in this class. Or it's not even, it's like it's expressing yourself through colour, but I never perceived myself to have the skills to create something with paint and brushes and canvas.
Yeah.
So I was in there going, I'm going to do something outside my comfort zone, but here I am standing in front of a canvas and the teacher's getting me to use different painting techniques. And inside of me, I was feeling all this judgment. I'm like, oh, I'm rubbish at this. my painting looks dumb and the other people in the class look really nice and they've got skills and they must be better at art than me. And I'm like having all these feelings. And then I got shown another technique. I tried it. My painting transformed and I transformed.
Wow.
So I got this amazing energy. And I, thank you for bearing with me through that story, but the reason I share that is that I came out of that class and all of a sudden all my energy had changed. I wasn't even thinking about food. For the next 2 weeks, I went around going, this is so weird. I'm not thinking about eating sugary snacks or pastry snacks or whatever as some kind of treat. I like, it's just ceased to become something I'm focused upon, because this influx of creativity that was going on totally shifted my focus and energy and just how I felt. It was amazing. And then I've found singing to do a similar thing. So I've got these really strong inputs into my creative right side of my brain. And what I can say, do something that's outside your comfort zone. If you want to create change in your life, I'm finding it's working.
But you know, what you're sharing there is totally a metaphor for running your own business. And it's exactly the same, because running your own business, you are going to have to do things that are totally out of your comfort zone, right? Whether it's standing in front of a crowd of people and introducing your business, or going to a networking event and doing a 60-second commercial, all of these things, or even if it's writing a blog post, or, you know, writing a training program, or doing a piece of work for a client and hoping you're going to get it right. So all of these things are stuff that pushes people out of their comfort zone. And what you've said, at some stage when you get into that space and it transforms and it changes, you're going to get a rush of energy that's going to make you feel good, but it means you're going to improve other aspects of your business, of your life as well. What is also great, just running your own business isn't enough. You have got to do things outside of that in your own personal life, whether it's painting or singing, or, you know, make sure you nurture yourself with your own personal time or your hobbies and everything, because it will improve your business as a result as well. So, yeah,
Michael, you're totally right there, and I had gone for too long without doing that, and I'm really feeling the benefits of it. It's changed what's happening in my business hugely,
and because we're the same person, aren't we? I mean, running our business, we're done by ourselves. Doing our personal development outside of our business is still us as well. So it's the same, you know, the same person, the same individual, the same mental brain and energy that's going on inside of you. So the more you can do to develop that energy inside of you, the more it's going to benefit your business as well. So what you're doing isn't just about, you know, transforming you as a person, but it's also going to transform your business.
Definitely.
Brilliant. Definitely. I love that story. Well, we could talk for hours on this subject, and unfortunately we can't. So we're getting towards the end, but before we go, we'd like you to dig deep and have a think about one bit of advice that you could give aspiring business owners. What advice would that be?
Sure. I actually was thinking of something while you were talking before, and that I think is really invaluable, and that is that it's really important to develop and nurture a network of people. It doesn't have to be huge. It could be 2, 3, or 4 people who, like you, are either self-employed or becoming self-employed and creating their own business. And it's great if you can add into that with some people who are maybe a little bit further along the journey than you, people who you can share with, because like you were saying before, Michael, the rest of the world thinks, oh, you're in business, and they kind of have all these perceptions about you being all sorted and everything, but you do need a trusted circle to be able to go to share your successes, your challenges, the questions you have, the days when it's feeling all just too hard, and be able to share honestly in a place that you feel safe. So I think that is a really important thing. Create, it could be some kind of a group that you get together, or it's an informal thing, but find your people that you can share with And Michael, I would count you as one of those people that we met through your reaching out to me. It might even be more like 4 years ago. And I've always felt your friendly offer of support and, you know, just open style of communication is such a gift. And
bless you. And thank you.
Yeah. And I think that's evidenced with what you're doing here with this podcast as well. You have a very generous view around sharing knowledge and experience for the betterment of all.
Thank you. Definitely.
Yeah.
And I love that advice. That is such brilliant advice because, running your own business, starting on your own, can be super lonely. And if you don't have anybody around you where you could just bounce some things off and ask for some advice without feeling that you're going to be judged, right? We all have a fear of being judged, whether it's by our peers, by our clients, by our loved ones, that's the biggest fear we have as human beings, is being judged. Because basically we all want to be loved, right? Yes. That's why social media is so successful.
Right? Yeah.
Because it's all about, when we get, I've written an article on this, just to digress just very briefly.
Sure, yep.
The psychology of it, and you've done psychology, so you totally will understand this. That is, when people on, say, Facebook in particular, we post something, and this is very prevalent in young people, they're waiting for the amounts of likes and comments they're getting. And the more they get, the better they feel about themselves. And it's a measure, because basically if people like, comment or share your stuff, what happens in your brain is a shot of dopamine, and you want more of that dopamine, so you're going to do it again and see, what else am I getting? And then, so what happens in your brain is when you get a like, a share, a comment or whatever, it goes, they love me. They love me. And that just keeps you wanting to get more. It's addictive. And that's why social media is so successful, because it's addictive.
Absolutely. I get the same thrill looking at the pictures of golden retrievers on Instagram. I love those puppies.
Yeah.
I'm such a golden lab and golden retriever fan. I love Instagram for that.
Oh, fantastic.
But yeah, you're totally on the money, Michael. You're absolutely right.
So I love your advice. That's absolutely brilliant. Now, if people want to get in touch with you, Kate, where would you like them to go to? Which platforms and which? Sure. I'll put it all in the show notes anyway, but just tell them verbally so they can jump on right now and find you.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. Well, look, my website is forceofnature.co.nz, because we're in New Zealand, so we are a .co.nz here. Yay! Yeah. And always I welcome connections on LinkedIn. So Michael will put the link to that. So Kate Nankerville on LinkedIn. And then in addition to that, you can find me on Facebook under Force of Nature, and you can also find me on Facebook with The Shape of Kate. And you can find me on theshapeofkate.com. We've got a website, blog site for that. And I'm also on Instagram with The Shape of Kate. So, look, I welcome people on both sides of my existence, if you like, my business being Force of Nature, my personal transformational project being The Shape of Kate. I think maybe one day this might all converge, but at the moment they are distinct. I'm not quite sure. It's when you were asking me that question before, but they are in the main the places where I would like to be found. I'm on Twitter as well, but not as much.
Well, I do think it's right to separate them out for now, because it's
I agree.
It's a distinct project, and I think it allows people to follow you in that area. Of course, follow your business too, but it will certainly be a story that people are going to be interested in, because we're all curious human beings, aren't we? We like people's stories. And if you're sharing your personal transformation story, that's something worth checking out, in my view anyway. So
thank you.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much for appearing on the Share Your Story podcast. And maybe one day we will meet in person somewhere in the world. I hope that will really happen. That's definitely a dream. So I really appreciate your time and thank you for all your valuable ideas, comments, suggestions, and I think it will help people listening to this podcast, definitely. So much appreciated, Kate, and have a great winter.
Michael, thank you. And I would like to acknowledge you for creating this podcast in the first instance. It's brilliant for people to be able to tap into these stories while they're out for a walk or a run or when they're driving to work, to feel and learn and experience through others is such a gift. So, you know, full credit and much respect to you.
Thank you. And it's my absolute pleasure. We'll speak Wonderful. To you again really, really soon. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Staying Alive UK. Share your story.